Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we who for our evil deeds do worthily deserve to be punished, by the comfort of thy grace may mercifully be relieved, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. Dearly beloved, Passover is near. A pastor's birthday is certainly a time to celebrate. Our church gives thanks for his service among you and to us all, and we pray the Lord to continue to give him good health for many years to come. But this is still not the great feast that Easter is. Easter is the resurrection of the Lord. Israel's troops triumphant cross the Red Sea's waters. Life comes out of death. Forgiveness comes out of sin. Therefore, we rejoice. This is Rose Sunday. The church sees her Easter joys approaching. She knows her fast is half over. The 40 days of Lent, the 70 days of preparation are coming to a close. Christ is going forth to his cross. He will accomplish his saving mission. The punishment we deserve is to be mercifully relieved by the comfort of his grace. Therefore, we go into the house of the Lord to rejoice with Jerusalem, and we cease our mourning, for we know Passover is near. Our Lenten journey has put before us the source, the origin of our mourning, the old evil foe. Over these past three Sundays, we've seen that enemy thrust before us. We've seen Jesus defeat him time after time. The devil failed to get him to turn stones into bread. He failed to get him to jump carelessly off the temple's high wall. He failed to get him to worship him as Adam had. Jesus cast out a demon. And then he cast out yet another demon. And at the same time, he told the Jews he did it by the finger of God, the Holy Ghost. Jesus has taught us during these past few weeks of Lent that he has defeated the old evil foe. He has shown us the absurdity of the devil's temptations. He has shown us the wickedness of the devil's rule. Adam had been tempted to doubt God's care. He quickly found himself under the rule of a wicked Lord. He found himself working hard to get food instead of just picking any ripe fruit he saw. He discovered that the devil takes, but the true God gives. The true God gives of himself, not for his own sake, but for yours. This was the problem with the temptations in the desert. The snake wanted Jesus to care only about his own belly, as had Adam. Adam had eaten a fruit he didn't need. And now the snake wanted Jesus to do the same thing. He wanted Jesus to stop trusting his Father's care. Changing stones into bread would have said, "I don't need you, Father. Nobody does. I'll take care of myself, and so will all humanity." That is not the attitude you see on display above the Sea of Galilee. He is still not thinking about himself, about his need for respite and solitude. Instead, he is thinking about those who are following him. They weren't following him out of faith. They were just following him because they liked the show. They liked seeing him do stuff. He was their David Copperfield, or whichever magician suits your fancy. He was their entertainment, and as far as they were concerned, he was about to become their meal ticket. That's all he was to them. He wanted him to heal and feed them, but they didn't care about the stuff he was there to do for them. They did not care to say, "For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven." That did not stop him from caring for them. They had followed him up the mountain. They had paid no attention to the time. They hadn't brought food with them. They had just left everything behind and followed him like little puppy dogs eating from their master's table. No care about what he was there to do. No care about their own sustenance either. That gave him the opportunity to teach them and us that we don't need to pay any attention to the devil's temptations. All we need is to let Jesus take care of us. He will care for both our physical needs and our spiritual needs. That is his promise. And he does not forget them, and he does not renege on them. He taught this by means of the miracle he did that day. He asked St. Philip if there was any food at hand. The apostle had no idea. All he knew was that whatever was at hand wasn't enough. After all, he knew none of them had anything. St. Andrew overheard the conversation and had some insider info. A little boy brought a snack. But it was 5 loaves of barley, I don't want that, and 2 little fish. It was just enough for just him. But it was more than enough for Jesus. He was able to provide for them what was barely enough for the little boy became more than enough for 5,000 men and their families. Jesus provided for them. The Creator of all things, who created the world out of nothing, used a little to feed 5,000 families. Jesus, who did not care at all whether he ate over 40 days and 40 nights, cared so much for those who had breakfast that morning that he fed them all dinner with 12 baskets of leftovers for the disciples to eat later. He cared for their earthly needs. And he desired to care for their spiritual needs. This is what he told them the next day. In effect, he told them they must inwardly digest him, as Archbishop Cranmer's collect for the second Sunday in Advent teaches us. We call it the collect of the word. "If you eat my flesh and drink my blood," he says, "you have life in you." They stopped following him then. They only wanted their fill of signs. They just wanted entertainment and provision for bodily needs. They wanted him to be king so they wouldn't have to work or get sick. They wanted nothing else. They wanted to take advantage of God, to use him for only their covetous desires and designs. They did not care to ponder the things of God. Bodily needs are important. Your congregation actively cares for those in need. This is meet and right, as there is much need in this city. I've often seen it on Pratt Street in the Inner Harbor. Care for the needy is very much part of our mission work in Pittsburgh, too. But there are temptations. One is to think the church only exists to care for people's earthly needs. Another is to think that if I'm not rich or healthy, God doesn't love me. But these cannot be true. After all, Jesus didn't have a day on earth as a rich man. And the evangelist tells us he bore all our diseases. He makes it clear that we are following his path to heaven. That path includes this: trusting that he is caring for us and providing us with everything we need, even when we think he isn't. We are called to look to him for his aid and to not be focused on earthly things. We are to be focused on things above, where he is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's why we attend the chief divine service, the Hauptgottesdienst. We come here to be fed by Christ, the most important food. We understand that what we give to others is invitation for them to join us at the feast Christ gives us. We come to hear the scriptures. We come to eat his body and drink his blood at the altar. In these means, through these ways, we inwardly digest Christ. For here at God's service, we receive the antidote to Satan's covetous poison. Here we receive Christ. Here he comes to you. He uses the voice and the hand of the minister, so you should not doubt what he says to you or gives to you. Jesus gives you the most important food, himself. This is the most important food because he is eternal salvation. Temporal goods are just that, temporary. Christ is forever, for he is risen from the dead. Easter is nigh. Easter is nigh. Christ is risen from the dead, never more to die. That makes eternal life the most important life there is. When that's the most important thing there is to you, you will believe Jesus cares for you in this life too. No matter what's wrong in life, no matter what's good in life, no matter what, he is caring for us. The Creator is preserving us. The Savior is saving us. Rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.